Where's that bonding strip? And another thing, stop with this spaceman thing. It's getting on my nerves.
Are you saying you want to lodge a complaint with Star Command?
Oh, okay. Ooh, well, so you want to do it the hard way, huh?
Don't even think about it, cowboy.
Oh, yeah? Tough guy?
The air isn't toxic. How dare you open a spaceman's helmet on an uncharted planet? My eyeballs could have been sucked from their sockets.
You actually think you're the Buzz Lightyear?
Oh, all this time I thought it was an act. Hey, guys, look! It's the real Buzz Lightyear!
You're mocking me, aren't you?
Oh, no, 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 no. Buzz, look, an alien!
Where?
And Damien's return to the podcast. I was going to use triumphant, but let's be serious.
Yes, none of that.
Yeah, no one cares.
And this is Douglas, and we're all here today to speak about things. What are we speaking about, Andrew?
We're going to be talking about the James Franco movie later.
Yeah.
We're getting there.
Okay.
We're getting there.
Okay.
I want to start out with what we've been watching. Mm-hmm. And I guess, so that we don't waste time, let's talk to Douglas first.
Wow. Thank you.
That's not nice at all.
You're welcome.
Well, I'd like to say that this is officially the return of Corporate Douglas. You remember all those past weeks when I didn't have anything to do and I had, say, 5 or 6 films or TV shows on my list? Well, I give you my list of this week. I saw a movie with Norah Jones and Sean Bones in it. It was called What Are Them? It is a fairly indie movie.
I've heard of it. I haven't even heard of it. Because I went searching for films about Jamaica and I found this movie. I remember I requested a screener copy from the director, mm-hmm. and he told me that it was coming out like in a few months, so he wouldn't send it to me.
When you said Norah Jones, like, you watched My Blueberry Night?
Oh, that was bad.
I still like that movie. It's not good, but I still like it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But anyway, this movie is, as Andrew says, it's about Jamaica. It's it's funny because I keep watching Jamaican movies.
Why?
Exactly.
Why do
that's the problem. I keep watching Jamaican movies and they're always bad. And so I found this, a Jamaican movie done by Americans. And I said, shit, this must be better. And, well, that logic did not quite work out in this case.
Didn't you say that Robin Williams
Paradise
or something?
Oh, that one. Okay. I thought you were going to pull a John Krasinski on me and that... What's it called? Wedding... the one with him and Mandy Moore and Robin Williams.
I believe that movie is just as Jamaican as Night and Day, isn't it?
Yes, it is, which is why I was about
I was going for a real Jamaican.
Yeah, fair enough. Yes, this movie was pretty bad. It had all the shaky camera angles and not quite mainstream video quality that sort of characterizes what is indie right now. it also had the overlong transitioning periods with not much dialogue that take you from one scenario to another, which pretty much characterizes indie films or the state of indie film right now. And on top of that, the story was boring. The dialogue was not there. The acting was nowhere to be seen. But
tell me, Norah Jones didn't knock it out of the park.
Well, it's a real stretch to even say she was in this movie. She was in this movie for a maximum of 30 seconds.
Okay.
She broke up with somebody. That's it. It's not me, it's you. I think that was her full line. That was about all that she got to say.
Wow.
Yeah. Or no, sorry, it's not you, it's me. Yeah, whichever.
Both of them mean the same thing.
Yes, they do. But this movie was pretty bad. I don't see very much redeeming qualities about it either. So that's where I'm going to leave it.
And I have two questions.
Yeah?
How long did it take you to get to this realization?
About 10 minutes.
Why did you continue watching?
I thought maybe I was wrong.
Alright.
Because, as I say, it's an indie film and it had all of these overly long transitions and all of that. So I say, you know what? Some of these things work this way, where it starts off really slowly and kind of bad, and then when it actually gets to the meat of the matter, you're like, oh, this is actually a decent movie.
Can you give me an example of a movie that does that?
Shut up. Don't ask me to, don't ask me to speak logically here now, Damian. Please. Please.
I'm sorry, though. Sorry. I'm sorry that you have to watch it. I honestly don't understand.
Okay, Damian.
Alright.
Before we get to it, I'm sure you're probably going to mention it anyway. Mm-hmm. What do you think of The Illusionist?
I love that movie, and the less said, the better. The only way for me to argue about that movie is going to make me sound like someone I don't want to sound like.
A snob?
Pretty much.
Please, award him.
No. I mean, the movie, I'm glad that you guys don't like it, and I understand the reasons why. I don't agree with any of them. Outside of the things that you, the positive stuff that you guys pointed out about the technical achievements that the movie made, but all of the other stuff about the story, I completely disagree with you guys with. But again, to get into it would make me so I'd have to use words and phrases that I don't want to use, like esoteric
and existential,
and sound like the people in the movie that we're about to review. I don't want to do that. So I do enjoy that movie a whole lot, and I've already ordered the Blu-ray. You guys, I'll only see this movie once. I've seen that movie about 4 times at this point. I really, really do enjoy that movie.
Since Oscars are coming up this weekend, The Illusionist is up for Best Animated against Train Your Dragon and Toy Story.
There's no way it's going to.
No, but pick your movie.
No, if I had to pick one of those movies, my movie is still How to Train Your Dragon.
Okay, just curious. Because
I didn't expect anything from that movie.
Just curious. No,
in terms of which of the three I think technically is a better movie, probably The Illusionist. Oh, but the movie that I prefer is How to Train Your Dragon.
I need to buy that movie on Blu-ray.
Won't. Right. So I started the process of putting very large files on a hard drive. And it takes a long time to transcode Blu-ray. I think it's illegal. I'm pretty sure it's illegal, but I don't care. And because I've been doing that, I've been watching a lot of movies that I loved and didn't watch for a while for some reason. I saw Away We Go.
I saw that recently too, actually. Some of that. Some
I still love that movie.
It's fantastic. Really, I mean,
I don't like saying it's a feel-good movie. you can't be angry after you've seen that movie. It's just impossible. It's too nice a movie.
You know what movie I kind of equate that with? Actually, two movies. One is Dan in Real Life, and another one is a little bit further out there, but A Good Year.
A Good Year, yeah, I like that movie too. I'm pretty sure we spoke about, I think we reviewed that movie on the cast.
No, we didn't talked directly, about that movie. But we spoke about it over time.
It's just fun.
I love when she finds Maggie Gyllenhaal.
Yeah, Maggie Gyllenhaal.
Fuck that. I'm going to tell you what the best scene in that movie is.
Is it the opening?
Of course it is. It's when he's he's talking to her and he says, "Baby, don't take this the wrong way, but you taste different." And of course she's like, but what? Why did you even want to tell me that?" And he's like, "You know, they say that generally there are only like two real reasons for that to happen. You know, you could be having menopause, or..." And then she punches him out of the bed. And that is the best thing ever.
Again, that move is really good.
I love you, Sam Mendes.
Yeah. He should make more movies towards that end. And leave some of those other movies alone. Also, rewatch Black Dynamite. No.
I saw that on cable now.
No.
Was this
having this movie in Blu-ray doesn't, you'd think, would make sense because it's supposed to look like shit,
but
it does look better.
No, I'm sure you know what it is. You know what it, no, you know what it is. It's not that this movie is meant to look like shit, or it's not that the movie looks like shit. It's meant to look like shit, so it's done in a high resolution. So when you watch it on Blu-ray, it looks like shit better.
Exactly.
You see all of the way. I'm sure you see all of the grains in more detail.
I need to put that on a shirt. Looks like shit better. That is true. This movie is wonderful. And the first time I watched it, I was saying, you know, maybe it was a little bit too long. But I think, after rewatching, I think that plays into the joke. Because there was a definite endpoint for the movie, but all exploitation movies were about the government bringing down the man. And so they went to the natural endpoint, and then they just said, "You know what? We haven't had Reagan in this movie. We had Nixon in this." And it just kept going further and further and further. Oh, this movie, it is terrific. I mean, all the shots where the boom mic is entering the scene, and he's like slyly looking up at it.
I still haven't finished watching that movie, good. But my favorite line is, "I am smiling."
No, my favorite line is in the trailer. He's like, "Shh, man, you wait the rest of the piece."
I have to say, one of my favorite lines from that movie is when he walks into the secret meeting. Yeah. And the people are like, "Coach, you get it." "Woke."
I mean,
this is a secret meeting. You can't be here.
That's a pimp meeting in the beginning. Yeah.
In the movie, like, I love the deliberate fake acting. it's done so well and at the same time so terribly. That movie's great. That movie should have won something. I don't care what it won, it should have won something. A couple months ago I started rewatching Breaking Bad. I'm done for the second time. Hey guys, let me Breaking Bad. Really good.
By the way,
when is it coming back?
I heard some good news on Twitter about a week ago.
It's coming back tomorrow.
They've started shooting.
That's great news.
Yes. Of course, I'm sure the date is actually still 2012, which fucking, you know.
There's nothing.
I'm sure when it comes around, you'll talk about how you're not, you can't watch it because you're busy.
I only have one regret.
No, that is job leaving types of situations there.
When you can't watch too much of my time, I leave in this job. Oh, fuck you guys. I only have one regret with the entire series.
What's
and
that?
It's at the start of the third season, they introduced two characters.
The third season?
Yes, who don't speak and wield an axe.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
They are no longer in the series.
Well, yes, the other one did. Yes. Because there was one left, but then there was a problem. Yeah, that's true.
And it pains me deeply because they are two of the greatest antagonists I've ever seen. I mean, it's literally, like, I truly believe the scriptwriters wrote evil and the director went,
"Alright,
this is what you want." No descriptions at all. There's two evil dudes. They're like, Well, I guess we'll have to come up with two evil guys. And good lord. I mean, it's delicious how evil those guys are. They couldn't stay in the series. That's the only regret. And it's not a real regret, but they need to find some way to weave them back.
I love how in the series, when people would talk about them, they'd be like, you know, I'm with you, but I really can't speak for those two people. They, I can try and make them stop, but, you know.
I love all the meetings that they had. Their people are trying to negotiate with these guys, and they're essentially negotiating against themselves because these guys aren't saying anything to anybody. Yeah. And they're like, it was like, it's a situation like, alright, $10,000, and the two of them just sit at those and say, alright, $5,000. And I'll do the, guys, it's really good.
You know, they really love, I think it may have been the season finale. Was it the finale? I'm forgetting names. When Bryan Cranston, finally decides to go over to the ghetto and help out his friend. Yeah. I think that was like the biggest shock in that show.
You know, it was the second to last episode.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's really cool.
Oh yes, you're right. There was a whole heap of other things that happened after that. Yeah.
I saw Bronson again. And Tom Hardy. I think he's my new Christian Bale. I think he's taking that spot. And I hear that he's Bane in the next Dark Knight.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You know what upset me though? That Catwoman's going to be in that shit.
Yeah, let's be clear. Nolan is still this is writing and directing this movie.
This is true. All right. I'll give him a chance.
No,
say he deserves a chance.
He deserves a chance.
And those mediocre movies.
They've been alright.
And
yeah.
Tom Hardy and Cobra Commander is in this movie. So
who's Cobra Commander again?
I'm sorry.
Joker.
No, in the movie.
Oh, and they haven't said who he definitely is.
Oh, I'm curious. As long as he's in the movie.
No, but he was asking.
I don't care. I don't want to hear anything about the plot. I just want a trailer that says the date. That's all I need. Batman 3. Batman 3. Date. That's all I need. That's all I need.
And then you can add 3 weeks to it for when we'll get to see it.
No, I think I'm going to fly and go watch this one. I want to see it on IMAX. Real IMAX and fake ass IMAX. I've never seen IMAX.
No.
I had an IMAX theater like a block away from me.
And you said, I'm better.
All they played were like nature things.
Yeah.
Shit.
Doesn't matter what they play. 100-foot screen, you
idiot.
That's
true. For a long time, they didn't know what to do with the big screen and they're like, we'll show grass grow. And then no one came around and was like, I could watch Batman on that.
Yeah. Yeah, guys, maybe we should watch Batman. Hey guys, Bronx is also fantastic. I saw A Team again, and that movie starts out so good, and then you know it's still a great movie, but it drew in the middle. It's not. I mean, they didn't. The one issue I have with A Team is that it doesn't ramp all the way to the end. Liam Neeson should be in more movies. Like, no matter what he's doing in
he's in a movie coming out this month.
Unknown, right. He adds an additional point to any movie.
No, Taken 1.5 with Amnesia.
Born 5. They should just, in fact, even if he's not in the movie, they should just have him name, you know, at the in the starting credits.
just to get you excited.
Just get our point. Like, Liam Neeson, oh, this movie's good. And there's a whole other set of movies that I watched, like Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. I didn't realize how many movies I had bought and how many trillions of dollars I had thrown away. Since the movie industry clearly doesn't care about Jamaica, I have Amazon Prime, and I can't. Amazon started a new streaming service that I can't use because I'm in Jamaica. Never mind, so I'm paying sucky. The same amount of money.
Use a proxy.
And I don't want to use a proxy. And California is closer to Jamaica than a half of all of the rest of the American states. And Canada. Yet we don't fall under whatever shitty jurisdiction. Why can't I get Netflix? Why can't I get Amazon? Why can't I get Hulu? I'm paying the same money.
I know the answer to your question, but it's still stupid.
It has exactly. It doesn't make any sense. Jamaica doesn't make movies, and if we do, we should stop. Guys,
we really should. I mean, I keep trying.
Guys, let's
I
be serious.
I keep trying to say, all right.
Let's be serious, guys.
There's going to be something, but
we really should stop.
By the way, Andrew shared this bullshit on Google Reader the other day about apparently there's going to be a Jamaican film festival. But not only is there going to be a Jamaican film festival, there is going to be a Jamaican festival for trailers for films in the Jamaican Film Festival.
No, that's not. It was.
Dumbest shit.
It wasn't. You make it sound like it's a separate festival. It really isn't. It's just an event that they're having to show the trailers for the films they're showing. And yes, it is kind of weird that they decided to do it like that as opposed to releasing online or whatever.
It's called the Jamaica Festival of Films or some bullshit. It's a festival. A festival of trailers.
Why don't they just show the trailers? I'd care ahead of big movies.
Because then they'd have to talk to the Grahams, and if you've ever spoken to them, they're not very nice people.
Fair enough.
And unfortunately, I've spoken to them.
I'll never speak to them. Yeah, so that's pretty much.
Look out for the possible event I'm having with them soon.
What was that, Andrew? Oh, you just got an email.
Please, like, anybody from that company is listening.
We're like 20 minutes in, by now they have two notes.
There we go. Also, Andrew's good with the Audacity.
Yes. Edit. We should clap. So that there's a spike and you know where to start editing from.
Alright, this week I didn't get to see that much. But
corporate Andrew.
Only like 25 movies.
I saw this movie called Taboo. It's a Japanese film from 1999.
Taboo!
Is it
Black Eyed Peas documentary?
Stop.
It's set during the late 1800s in Japan, during the time of the shogunate. Everyone's a samurai, and there's these two guys who have just been brought into the militia.
Okay. Is Tom Cruise in this movie?
No.
Oh, good.
And it's really one of those taboo romances. It's about a homosexual romance between these two guys.
Oh, shit.
And they're in this militia samurai clan, and how this one guy uses his relationships with all of the men in the militia to turn everyone against each other. And the movie's pretty boring and mediocre story-wise. However, the one shining light that this movie has going for it is in between all of this talking, there are a lot of really cool samurai sparring scenes. Unlike a lot of action movies, which tend to try and focus in on certain elements in a sequence, in an action sequence, and slow down the film or whatever, this movie at no point does that during the sparring scenes. It feels as if the director went out and cast proper swordsmen who knew what they were doing.
who
were properly trained in the martial art of the samurai sword.
You said swordsman in a movie named Taboo. I'm sorry.
About homosexuals. Yeah, exactly. And those sequences, I think, lift the movie up just a notch for me. So I had some form of enjoyment when I watched the movie. Otherwise, I also watched Get Low, the new film with Robert Duvall.
I so want to watch
and
that movie.
Bill Murray.
That's the one where he's
fake
funeral.
Well, not fake, but Oh wait, it doesn't. It does turn out to be fake, doesn't it?
Well, he's not dead, so he can't have a funeral.
Well, no. I think he started off just saying, "I know I'm going to die soon. I'm going to talk to you now because time to figure out things."
Fair.
Actually, no. It's about a fake funeral. There is no introductory. I think I'm going to die soon, so let me buy more casket and. No, the initial put forward is I want a funeral party, but I don't want to die yet.
I don't want to die yet.
And the truth about it is, it's really about this character who everyone thinks they know about because he's this guy who lives on his land and shoots anyone who comes near. And
so he's there.
And it's a really good movie, but it's not great. That's my problem with it. It's one of those gems of last year, which people who really loved it touted it really well, and then everyone else was like, yeah, it's mediocre, and you can understand both parts. But for me, I see both sides of the story, and I see some great acting in the film. Robert Duvall is fantastic, as he always is, as well as Bill Murray. But I didn't love the movie, even though every step of the way, I was just so interested in how Robert Duvall's character evolved over the period of the film. Because he starts out as this hermit who you know you're going to hate, and then it becomes this real person who made a decision in his life to shut himself off from the world because of something he did. And it reveals said thing later on in the movie, and it becomes a huge emotional note, and it's really good. And you even get to see with Bill Murray how he starts out being like, holy shit, he has money. I'm going to do anything this guy asks, to, you know, becoming someone you actually root for in the movie, even though he still remains a businessman through and through. So yeah, that's all I really watched this week. Oh, I also rewatched 127 Hours today. And I have to say, I know you guys disagree, but I still think it's a great movie, and it works 100%. Even those times when it leaves the canyon and he's either hallucinating, remembering a dream, remembering a memory from before, or just thinking about something else.
I see the gears. No, Douglas, no, let it go.
So hold on. Stop it. He corrected himself.
Yes.
No, I'd like Douglas, to ask Douglas, Andrew, which one? Right. How do you think that remembering a memory is better than remembering a dream?
Oh my goodness.
How? How?
Oh, Lord.
How? Oh. What is
that? All right. Oh, Douglas. Just leave me.
Because to quote what I heard today while watching the man at those things.
Stop right there.
To remember is if I say I can't remember, it means I'm not sure. But if I say I can't recall, it means I don't know.
Actually, I did want to say something, and I thought it was really great when Andrew started to... I walked in on Andrew watching a movie, and Andrew started to tell me about how great it was, and he saw a look in my eye that said, oh Andrew, you are talking rubbish, and he started to like defend it.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to him, but Andrew, this thing where, you know, he goes off on all these tangents and he goes off into his hallucinations and things, they don't make no sense, I don't like that. And his response to me to defend that it was good, not, he didn't try and say that it's good because of this or it's good because of that. His response, his defense to that argument was, but Douglas, it's not always dreaming. Sometimes it's hallucinations. And that's good.
First of all, I would like to say you misquoted.
This is good.
But whatever. I'll let you have it. This week making trailers.
I do not recall.
Okay, I only have one more question. You okay. said that he went from being a hermit to a real person. So hermits are people. They speak in trails.
I do have to say, though, I saw the last, probably 15 minutes with you. And those last 5 minutes where he's actually finally being rescued are very moving. Yes.
Are you patronizing the film now, or are you actually being real?
He's patronizing the film, Andrew.
No, I'm...
That's a lie. Don't believe him, Andrew.
No,
he's lying to you.
Oh, I just wanted to make sure. Because you had a look on your face, and I'm like... He might be making fun of me right now. So this week in trailers.
Ah, yes.
First trailer I want to talk about is this new... A trailer finally came out for this film, Apollo 18.
Yes.
I don't know who it stars. Don't know who directed it. But it's in space and it's found footage.
Houston, how does the motion sensor work?
Yeah?
Been experiencing unexplained malfunctions.
Look at this. Flag's gone.
Tracks. They aren't ours. They lead away from our site.
The mics are picking up interference.
I've never heard anything like it.
So I'll start Damien because I know he hates it.
Wait, what? Is this really found footage?
It's a found footage movie.
Just like Blair Witch and right. Paranormal Activity.
That shitty movie with Mila Jovovich last year.
As in it's a so-called...
In winter. And
a fake some
I don't remember
the one. I skipped the fourth kind. I skipped that movie completely.
Yeah. So it's fake phone footage.
Yeah, because when you say phone footage, usually that means it's real. Because they found it.
I get you.
So I was like, what?
I have kind of understood that people have started to call it its own genre, even whether it's fake or real.
Oh, okay, alright. Right. Right.
They present it as phone footage, hey guys, aliens attack astronauts in space.
Mm-hmm.
We've never seen that in any movie before, have we? No?
I watched a movie called Alien once.
Oh, right! Right! But that just came out recently.
Wasn't that about...
Didn't Cameron do that like last year? Some blue people.
Yeah.
I think this is special. Right. When this trailer started, I thought it was a spoof trailer of the Transformers trailer. Which was hilarious. And then, the whole things are attacking and this is why we haven't been back to Mars and it looks cliche. That's I've never seen them do it this way ever, but it still looks cliche. Even though they're trying the found footage angle, it just looks bad.
You know what this movie is? It's a more expensive Blair Witch project.
Probably.
Except there's no stupid people are going to think that this is real.
I think they've already... I mean, we know it's aliens. And that is part of the problem. With Blair Witch, you didn't know what the hell was attacking these people. But we know it's... So they've given up their only ace. So-called ace. There's nothing... That you're going to watch in this movie and go...
And the alien looks like spiders.
So you're saying they should have done what they did with Paranormal Activity, which is show shots of the theater being scared?
What they should have done was first show a transformer and then fade back into space. So essentially reverse the Transformers trailer. If they had done that, I still would not watch this movie. I'm never going to see this movie.
So my thoughts on this trailer was that it was actually...
Plus I hate horror movies.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So my thoughts, kind of echo Damien's, but I really did think that this was a good trailer. In the sense that it makes the movie look good and it makes it, it definitely will appeal to the persons that like this kind of movie. And for a while, I was actually taken in because I kind of thought that in the first few, the first little bit of the trailer, I thought that, you know what, this could actually be kind of like a Moon, movie, and then it turned out it wasn't. It's really, like you say, a horror movie, which I don't want to say I hate horror movies, but I definitely do get wary when that's all you're selling to me. But this trailer is good, but I don't think that I like this movie. And so I'm not going to watch it.
I would have been with Damien 100% if I hadn't taken the dive and seen the Paranormal Activity films last year. Because, I mean, no, I'm not going to tell you you're wrong, Damien.
No.
No, I know
Andrew,
this
I wasn't great. I was just chuckling because I don't like the movies that you enjoy.
But for some reason, the Paranormal Activity movies just got me. And I do think part of it is a theatrical experience. And also part of it was a surprise. So the fact that they've given away, like what you said, they gave away the what we're freaking out about in this movie, that's definitely going to be a problem. But at the same time, it could work. It's been shown, the found footage angle has been shown to work in the Paranormal Activity. Why can't it work here?
Let's look at it this way. Those directors will use those movies that will print money to give them enough clout to make real movies down the line. Right? Not everyone gets lucky and gets to make great movies all the time. Sometimes you have to pay the piper and make shitty movies in order to make better movies. You know this. So, I mean, look, it is not my genre, but there's people who clearly like these types of movies,
I mean,
and I hope...
The trailer definitely makes it look like...
I hope
the
movie is good.
Turn out to
right.
be as good as those other movies.
I hope the movie is good and people come back to me and say, oh yeah, Damien, you should watch it. And I'm never going to watch it. But knowing that there's good versions of those movies can't hurt. You're distracting me.
You know, I can't do more than one week at a time. Another trailer that came out this week was the first trailer, Red Band trailer for Bad Teacher, this new comedy with Jason Segel, Cameron Diaz, and Justin Timberlake.
Are you excited for tomorrow?
Is tomorrow Saturday?
No. It's the first day of school.
Fuck my ass.
Ooh.
What?
Elizabeth, you shouldn't be teaching. I mean, I can't think of anyone less suited to being a teacher.
I don't need a blackboard or a classroom
to set an example.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Oh, shit!
Sweat.
Oh, fuck.
What do you want?
Is that marijuana?
No, it's medicinal marijuana.
Oh. I feel better.
Hey, Elizabeth, why don't I grab a bite sometime?
You still a gym teacher?
I am, yeah.
Fuck off.
Awesome. This went great. All right.
From now on, my full-time job is finding a guy who's going to take care of me.
Hi there.
Scott Delacour.
Elizabeth Halsey.
I'm the new sub.
How the watch? Is that a Jaeger LeCoultre?
The family business.
I love how his eyes sparkle when he smiles.
I want to sit on his face.
Douglas, what did you think?
Can you hold my ball sack?
I'd rather not.
Okay. This trailer... What can I say? It's a typical trailer for the typical crude comedy that really has not changed much since the Farrelly Brothers did Something About Mary. And really and truly, I don't think I've really enjoyed very many, I don't want to say overtly, but so very many of the comedies that come out where they're only... laughing point. The only thing that they bring to the stage is the crudeness of it. There have been a few. I love Sex Drive.
Bad Santa.
Actually, no, I don't
Santa.
Like Bad
what?
Santa.
What?
Not like that movie.
What?
At all. And I know
for
that
shame,
the Coens,
Douglas.
Or at least the half of the Coens team, is responsible for that film. But I
that
don't
so
like that movie. but yeah, there are. This is already, it has a strike against it because it's in a genre that I am probably 70 to 75% sure I'm not going to like.
But you enjoyed Funny People.
Yes, I did enjoy Funny People, but that was different. That was
because it wasn't good.
That's the best difference.
I don't think I'm ready to discuss this right now.
But that said, right? That said, this trailer had its highs and it had its lows. And I'm still not necessarily extremely curious, but I'm still open to a second trailer trying to change my mind. There were some very good parts in this trailer, but equally there were some really bad parts, and so I just don't know which way to go, you know.
I think the number one thing holding this trailer back, other than what you've mentioned,
those set camera ideas.
Yes, camera
you don't get to set up.
It's camera ideas.
Really?
You don't get to set up.
Really?
I'm sorry, she looks horrible in this movie.
And I think. No.
But I'm sure that's more the screenplay than her. Man. But what's wrong with.
No. That's
but what do you mean she looks horrible? Like. Physically?
No, the whole of her character, who, as you say, just looks like she's walking around saying, timing. Fuck.
Comedic timing doesn't look be on point.
Yeah. Okay. And I mean, like, it's even, lots of comedians used to talk about this. There was even, was it Eddie Murphy or Richard Pryor? Eddie Murphy, who did a thing about Cosby calling up and saying he was too foul-mouthed. Mm-hmm. You know, you shouldn't use those words. It's just cheap laughs, you know, and stuff. And this movie looks like one of those movies which is just cheap laughs. It just looks like I can say the word fuck now because we've gotten to a point where censorship isn't an issue, so I'll say fuck and you laugh at it because it brings out a weird awkwardness in you because you won't say it normally.
I see now.
But on a side note, since you mentioned them, the Farrelly brothers, there was also a Red Band trailer which came out for this movie, which looks horrible. Hall Pass.
Oh yes.
They had the draft. They were in the car driving with their wives, I assume, and she curses him, saying that, you know what, you left the computer on gangbang face. I can't remember the end of the URL.com. You can find it in the trailer. And I decided, because I know all these movies do this, I went to the website, and there's a comment in the trailer where she says that to him, and he says, I get my weather off that. And you can literally just get your weather on that website, which made me laugh inside.
That's good stuff.
I can't remember the last word.
I like the weather.
And that's all there is there. There's no naked ladies. Mm-hmm. You can look at it at work. Mm-hmm.
It's or really, that's all. Yeah.
That's
good.
But that you know, before you said that that's all that is there, it reminded me of people saying things like, I read Playboy for the articles. I'm like, yeah, sure you do.
You can also go to penisland.com,
and that's probably the opposite of what we were just talking about.
It's pretty much the same.
So
fake website. You know what, Pen Island works out, right? P.S.
Okay.
You're welcome.
I actually didn't realize that. So when you said that, I was like, oh, that's a regular name, so it's probably going to be a horribly slutty website. But
it's at dinner. What? And Andrew's away.
Search for us all. Nah. So yeah, that was a side note. Otherwise, Jason Segel looks really funny. He looks like how I met your mother funny in this trailer. Like,
I don't know, Andrew. He asked her to hold his ball, sir.
And that's
an
hilarious.
Awesome line.
That's his hilarious.
But I mean, for me, the telling point was not that line, but when he was telling the child where he called Twilight.
Yes.
He was close to her. Like that felt so much like a television delivery than, you know, a straight comedy, whatever. Anyways. Damon,
I want to see this movie. I really like the trailer, and I don't think it's the trailer's fault. I think it's because they have Bad in front of it, and it reminds me of Bad Santa, and I love that movie. So I'm hoping that Bad Teacher, that's the name of the movie,
Bad Teacher,
I'm hoping that Bad Teacher is as good as Bad Santa. Nothing in the trailer says that that's the case, but I don't care. Going to be optimistic. I'm going to take a page out of Andrew's book.
Did you get directions?
For the best.
Did you get directions?
I'm still kind of lost. I don't really know how you guys do it, but hopefully it works. I don't know.
The last trailer I want to talk about is the trailer that came out for Hesher, the new indie film with Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
I'm sorry, with who?
Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
I don't know a Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Natalie Portman.
I'm sorry.
And who is this? Rainn Wilson.
Do you know a Joseph Gordon-Levitt?
Hello there, young man.
Hey, old lady. TJ, who is this?
My name's Hesher.
I'm a friend of your son's.
What are you doing here?
What are you doing here, dude?
Hesher, is that a name? Ah! Then that mouse will stick my head in the toilet. And just stand there and watch him do it. Get out of my grandma's house.
Hey! Dude? Oh! Okay. Where are you going? I'll give you a ride.
Don't talk to me, okay?
Sorry about the other night. I was totally out of control and was foolish and irresponsible. So, sorry. Yeah, I think I can be some help here. She was just sitting there and you backed right into her.
I won! Sometimes, you know, a day's bad and you think it couldn't get any worse, and then suddenly you discover whole new ways it can get worse.
Dude, you're not shopping. You're stalking that chick.
No, I'm not.
You seem a little older than TJ.
I used to have this snake. I used to have to feed him and give him a live mouse. And there was this one time, this mouse got up on its hind legs and punched him in the face.
I think... Was he in some...
Comrades in this movie. I can't wait for G.I. Joe 2.
Damien, what did you think of this trailer?
This trailer is awesome. This movie could have... It's clearly a comedy. But it, at the start of the movie, it looks like... There's a phrase that someone had coined for this genre. Grief porn or something like that. Right, where it's one of those movies like Winter's Bone where shit just gets worse and worse because people are poor. But then the second they introduce Cobra Commander, everything flips. Where you see that... I'm hoping... It's probably not the case. I'm hoping he's an imaginary person. Dear God, I hope he's imaginary. And everyone's just playing along with the small child.
I clearly saw him talk to exactly. other people in this trailer. Just
playing, like, sure. What you say? He said what to me? Of course. This movie looks crazy. And I really, really want to see it.
I have to say, I agree with you. Like, it looks like he's a made-up person and he's an imaginary friend for the child who obviously is going through this grief time as his mother has died. And it's... But at the same time, you see him talking to other people. You're, like, confused. You're like, how does this work?
Did I watch the same trailers, guys? Somebody died?
Yeah, you see Rainn Wilson... He's
you're right.
Yes, and he's talking about his wife's dad and a car crash. That's the child's mother.
Really?
Okay. I had been looking forward to this movie from I just heard Joseph Gordon-Levitt was in another Sundance movie.
Shocking.
And you saw the picture of him with the long hair and the burning... thing in front of the pool, and you're like, what the hell is this movie about? And you hear Natalie Portman is in it, you're like, awesome. And now I see this trailer and I'm like, might turn out to be really good.
Okay.
I actually hope it's not that much of a comedy. I think it's gonna be funny, but not intentionally at all.
Not like Hangover comedy, like dark comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of Hangover, apparently a teaser dropped today.
Yeah, sorry.
I haven't watched it yet though.
It's not with Dalton, but it's a teaser. Okay.
Alright, cool. Hesher, this is a movie with
Cobra Commander.
Thank you. And a crazy black swan lady. And Dwight Schrute. This movie, this trailer, I was actually kind of disappointed in it. Because I'm not sure about you, but as with Andrew, I have been looking forward to this movie with bated breath. anytime I hear Joseph Gordon-Levitt, and then on top of that I hear Natalie Portman, this is a must-watch scenario. I have to watch this movie. But at the same time, this trailer just, it didn't live up to my expectations. And maybe it's because I didn't quite know what to expect. I wasn't too clued in, I guess, into what the movie really was about. But it just, it didn't seem that funny to me from the trailer. But of course, that's not a problem. I'm okay with watching dramas with good actors in there. But you guys clearly saw some sort of humor that just kind of went over my head.
It's all those pesky expectations that you had.
Yeah, it could easily be that.
That optimism.
So, I don't know. This movie, I still am excited for it. But not because of this trailer. If anything, this trailer has dampened that excitement a little bit. At the same time, I feel like, especially because you two like it so much, I'm almost confused. I'm like, why? Why did I not like that trailer? Should I watch it again? Did I miss something? Yeah, it just didn't live up. And I hope that the movie does.
I started writing poetry because I fell in love and I needed to express my feelings.
How? I saw the best minds of my generation destroyed by madness, starving, hysterical, naked.
Would you say that Howl,
the poem by Ginsberg,
is obscene?
Yes.
Holy, holy, holy.
If it has any literary value, it's negligible. Holy
Caroline, this week, holy Damon asked us to watch his film, Howl.
Yes.
Starring James Franco and John Hamm. Mm-hmm. And
some other
people
that we all recognize and don't know their names. Because they're bad people.
We are. Damon, tell them what it's about.
Howl is about a poem that triggered crazy Americans to do what crazy Americans always do, try and censor shit that shouldn't be censored. And it went all the way to the Supreme Court, and they had to decide whether or not this poem, constituted free speech. Now, I had some vague knowledge about this happening. I didn't know any of the details. And then when I saw that James Franco was going to be in the movie, I went, all right, I should see this.
Sounds very much like my experience with this movie.
I should see this. And it was a mistake. And now I'm going to give you some information about myself that pertains to this movie, but pertains more to music. I don't like music videos because music videos don't represent music. Music videos are an ad. An ad for music. But when you listen to the music, there's an image that is in your head. And it is never the shitty music video.
Why is it I'm just thinking of Louis Black right now?
Alright.
Do you know that?
Yeah, I know the joke.
Okay.
It's the same problem I have with poetry. That and the fact that poetry is, most poetry, is deliberately using wordplay, but with no, there's no benefit for doing it. They've been doing it so long now that it's become a mainstay of poetry, but there is no real benefit to be gained from the format that poetry is in.
It would have been better if you just read it off as an essay, because your point would have gotten across just the same. But because there's artsy people in the world and you cannot prevent them from doing this, they're going to continue to do it. Howell made the mistake of trying to animate the poem, and they did a terrible job. I've actually heard this poem before, and what they put on the screen represented nothing of what I thought the poem is. And instead of them doing it all at once and getting it out of the way so I could have enjoyed the rest of the movie, they constantly cut in pieces of the poem into the movie. And then they wrap that with this faux documentary. And at the same time, they have a court case going on. So it is three different movies being cut together. And after 90 minutes, all that has been achieved is that you know that it was upheld as free speech. That's all you learn after 90 minutes. That information could have been given to you in 5 minutes. This would have been a quick movie. But they didn't. For some reason, the director and whoever the writer was thought that they could essentially stretch out what could have been a short into a feature-length movie. And they failed miserably. It is, as a movie, it fails. And it is essentially a music video for a poem, and that fails. Partially because poetry is garbage. And partially because what I see when I listen to that poem is definitely not depicted in this movie. Outside of all of that though, the performances, they got actors who could act and put them in this movie. So when there's actually a movie being made, the movie is, it is okay. They have all the right people, you know all of them. All the performances are, I guess they're good, but completely unnecessary for what, I don't know what the aim of this movie was. I don't know what they're trying to prove. The director had like a cousin who could draw and decided that he's going to be in the movie. And then when he handed it to the studio, they're like, remember when we gave you that money to make the movie about the court case? Can you make the court case as well as all of this madness? And he went, yeah, sure. And got Jam Ham and some other people to come in. And they made a movie. It's just, I don't know. I really shouldn't have picked this movie. I'm sorry, guys. Douglas.
Okay, so I watched this movie. I actually finished watching this movie about 10 to 15 minutes before we started this podcast, so that I would have it fresh in my mind. Uh-huh. And really, whoa, why did you put that there? Okay, so as you say, the actors in this film were very good. You've got James Franco, who has kind of blossomed and shown himself to be a proper actor. You've got James Hamm. John Hamm, David Strathairn,
and a bunch of other
people. Exactly.
Apparently, Louise Parker.
Yes, she is.
I remember who she is.
She was the first lady on the stand.
The first expert witness.
Who said that it wasn't
and art. You know who's in this film too that I really love? Jeff Daniels.
Yes, Jeff Daniels.
I remember while I was watching this movie, even like halfway through, I thought to myself, boy, James Franco and all of these guys must have been so happy because this movie probably took them,
a day.
Ham was on the air for like half hour. Franco maybe took three, four days maximum.
Set location. They're like, all right, move to there. We have to get this guy in, put your head beside him, and we're done. That's a wrap, guys.
As you said, there was so much animation in this film, and this film really, it kind of tried to be the poem, and it took on not only the poem, but it also tried to be a documentary about the poem and about Gainsbourg and how he wrote Ginsburg. I'm thinking more of Serge, but anyway. A documentary about Ginsburg and how he wrote it, what he was thinking, and the kind of rift between what he was thinking and what everybody else was thinking about it. And I don't know what to call this movie. I guess Andrew might say that this was a fake real story because, you know, it's a fake. It's not true, but it is true when they tried to make it documentary, but whatever. This movie, to put it lightly, it was not entertaining. There were moments, there were points, like you say, when we see James Franco talking about, oh, you know, this piece of the poem was because I was driving around with this guy who first got me comfortable being homosexual or whatever, and you know, when you've got John Hamm saying that, giving his speech about how, you know, yes, maybe there are naughty words, but who doesn't say naughty words, and who are we to say that, you know, we can, that one person can say it and one cannot, and that kind of thing. So I guess I would echo your thoughts and say that if we took out all the animation and just kind of condensed all the live action into a short, that this could work.
It could.
And maybe the credits would be a piece of the animation with just the whole poem going.
Right.
And then it would last, what, maybe 20 minutes? And that would be... And that would maybe still not be perfect, but it would be a step in the right direction. So, Andrew, what was your take on this film?
I think this is interesting, because we're progressing slightly up.
sorry.
I kind of like this film. I have problems. Shit. I have problems with it, and I'm okay with everything you guys have said. The animation is a waste of freaking time.
But hold on. How can you like this movie?
Exactly.
And say that the animation
the movie.
Is... No, it's not half. It's at least three quarters of the movie.
No.
But anyway, like, no, seriously though, I don't understand how you can like the movie and at the same time hate the animation when the animation is not only an integral part of the film, but at least 80% of the film.
First of all, the animation is nowhere near an integral part of the film. The audio playing over the animation is an integral part of the film.
So what you're saying is that...
Whenever the pretty pictures come on, he shuts his eyes.
And I think the thing for me, unlike Damien, is I had never heard or read this poem before.
I don't find that shocking.
So to sit down and to hear this poem was very interesting for me. I just did a quick look, and the directors of this film, the directors and writers of this film, Rob Epstein and Jeffrey Friedman, are people who have also produced other films such as The Life and Times of Harvey Milk, as well as Paragraph 175, which is a documentary I saw a while back about how Nazis treated homosexuals during World War II.
Let me guess, poorly.
No. It was okay.
Oh, okay.
They got...
They're understanding people.
Yeah, you know, they got to get locked in their little dance clubs and burned to death. It was alright.
Stuff like that happened. Yeah. And so you immediately get a picture of where these directors wanted to go with this story. They wanted to highlight this poem not because of how amazing this poem was or how it broke censorship boundaries, but because it was done by a homosexual and had so many homosexual themes behind it. You're hearing that, aren't you? You're hearing that. And that section of the film I had no interest in, because I remember I was listening to an interview of Paula Patton, who, if you don't remember, she played Blue Rain or whatever her name was in Precious.
Blue Rain.
No. Yeah, but you know what though? Her favorite color was purple. All right. Fucking Prince groupie.
Wow.
If you haven't seen Precious by now, minor spoiler detail, you find out later on in the film that she's gay. And in the interview, she's
not Precious, the teacher.
The teacher is gay. And she talks about... someone asked her about... if there were any... She found any differences with having to play a gay character. And she said so plainly that she realized there was no difference. That it was just love. It was just whether she was in love with a woman or a man. And it's love all the same. Same exact thing. Which is why when I see this kind of film and they try to push that homosexual section to it, like, other than showing me the society of that day and age where you see guys who knew they couldn't be in sustainable relationships, so they walked around the town and had one night stands with random men, or come on, you see this in films before, and you saw it in moments in this movie where, like, he was walking down an alley and he looked up at guys who were just like giving him a look going like, yeah, we can go, and he was just there and whatever. Other than that, the homosexual side, I have no interest in. What really was interesting, but at the same time, you know the ending of, and you know what the answer to the question is, which was the censorship story, the story of the courtroom drama. All these people critiquing the poem because it has dirty words in it. You're like...
It had dirty words in it.
And...
It did.
And even though, as I said, you know exactly where it's going, you know the answer to the question as to whether this poem deserves to be out in the open.
that this gay ass poem deserves to be out in the open. Can I leave gay poems in the open?
So good. There was, I can't remember who it was, one of the expert witnesses came on the stand, and as usual the
prosecutor
came up and asked him, do you think these words are necessary? And his response was to the effect of, no, I don't think they're necessary, but however, none of the words are necessary. They're all said because they're the words he felt to say, and if we were to take it out and do what Damien wants to do with it, make it into a proper essay where we put in all the pretty euphemisms.
No, it's not about being pretty.
But
being straightforward.
But just, yeah, being straightforward about what you're saying, it stops being poetry, and the point of it is that it is poetry. There is, it, whether you like it or not, that's what it is, and what if you change one syllable, it stops being poetry. It stops being what it is.
And they should stop. Sweet Jesus, they should stop.
So on that side, I found myself interested. I don't think this movie is... It definitely isn't cool. Something that we're going to be talking about in the next 10 years. Because it's one of those stories we've seen 1,000 times about censorship and about the courtroom drama and how the little guy won. But yeah, I still didn't hate the movie the way you guys do.
Gate.
I do Mecha believe though that they should have not animated that and just had, like, all of those bits just had the camera on him telling the poem and cutting to the crowd like they did in One Point. Like, that would have been enough.
They should have just had him explaining what the poem meant. And the courtroom scene, and that'd have been okay.
I thought it was going to be when they started off, because at the beginning they said this is based on the court case and an interview done
right.
2 years later or something like that.
Okay.
And I thought that's exactly what it was going to be, but wow. And that would have been fantastic.
I'd have enjoyed that.
I mean, jeez.
If I liked the movie more, I'd have sat down and edited out all of that nonsense, but I'm never going to do it. I don't have that time. I shouldn't have made you guys watch this movie. I'm so sorry.
Mm-hmm.
So sorry.
James Franco was really good in it, though.
Yes, he was.
Everyone that was in it was really good in it.
Actually, like, at the end of the movie, you hear a song, and it's obviously being sung by Ginsberg, but from the when I heard it initially, I thought it was Franco singing it.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually you see, obviously, it plays in the credits a little snapshot of Ginsberg himself singing it.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was a nice little thing because Franco, he really was good. But anyways...
It's a feeling that begins in the pit of the stomach, right? And rises up through the breast, out the mouth and ears, right? And it comes forth as a croon or a groan or a sigh, right? So if you try to put words to that by looking around you and trying to describe what's making you sigh, just sigh in words, you simply articulate what you're feeling.
This
what
week...
Segway.
Segway.
We like James Franco. Do you? Well, we are going to talk today about our favorite James Franco moments in movies. Take it away.
You should have gone. Speaking of James Franco, wasn't his performance grand?
He's going to be doing the Oscars on Sunday.
Can you think of any other performances you've enjoyed?
But yeah, no, that is, I guess, what our beloved leader has mandated that we speak about. We got an email today to tell us that we are going to have to tell you guys out there, all four of you, what James Franco role we love
you
the
and
best.
Me count as one, count as two.
I count as two.
Yeah.
There's that one guy in the Facebook group.
And I guess I can go first. I think it's kind of difficult to argue that his best role is not... or it's difficult to not say that his best role is 127 Hours. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about our favorite roles. I specifically look at the email twice.
You're like, yes, I can do this.
Loophole!
Exactly. And I believe...
Jump!
I believe that we're all probably going to say this, but my favorite... No? Okay, great.
You're wrong.
My favorite James Franco role was actually the role that made me love him. And that was in Pineapple Express.
Pineapple.
Brass tacks.
Yes, yes.
Just got a shipment... of the dopest dope I've ever smoked. Hands down, dopest dope I've ever smoked.
Right.
Not
here. Better than the Blue Oyster weed. It can't be.
My friend,
I can't handle better than
this
that.
This is like if that Blue Oyster shit met that Afghan Kush I had,
yeah.
And they had a baby, and then meanwhile, that crazy Northern Light stuff I had, and the super red espresso snowflake met and had a baby, and by some miracle, those two babies met and fucked. This would be the shit that they birthed.
Wow.
Yes.
This is the product of baby fucking.
Smell it.
Okay.
Smell it. Enjoy. It's like God's vagina.
I mean, I really can't say for sure that that's his best role because I haven't watched Tristan and Isolde, and that could possibly trump.
You're an asshole.
You know. But no. Seriously though, that role didn't show me that he could act well. I guess in a sense it did because it showed his range from
it's
the kind of the kind
Spider-Man
of shitty
nonsense.
Thing that he was doing before.
Spider-Man nonsense.
And how he could do that so well. Because even though he was in shitty movies and you and me hated him because he was shitty, that's what they wanted. You know, that's what they wanted him to give and that's what he gave to them. And then for him to come and completely change that, be this
good.
Yes, this good and this funny and this great at the timing and this just great at everything in this like a stupid comedy was fantastic.
He was the reason that comedy was good.
Yeah,
and out-acted everyone.
To this day, I think that his thumb joke is the most funny thing. I mean, it cracks me up. Even when I do it, I crack myself up. And that's how funny that joke is.
All right. Looks like a cock.
Sick people.
So, my favorite role, bar none, of James Franco is the drug dealer in Pineapple Express.
I think so far my favorite moment, I'm gonna say your movie is knocked out of my list. Okay, so yours would be there.
Okay,
right?
Okay.
However, one of my favorite moments of James Franco, and people like to use this all over the internet, is in Spider-Man 3. When he's just in this cafe or something, and he gets given a piece of pie, and the girl asks him, "How is it?" And he just gives this friggin' crazy ass look and goes, "So good." And it's really funny. It's bad movie funny. It's black dynamite worth acting funny. And he's done that kind of acting again in a movie that I don't want to mention because it's kind of a spoiler to say he's in it.
Oh yes, I know exactly.
We saw it this year, earlier this year.
I know what you're talking
about. Yeah. And that's another one of my favorite moments. But however, what I'm gonna call on now is one of my favorite roles by him is from the same year as Pineapple Express in 2008, Gus Van Sant's Milk.
Boo.
Can I just tell you, if you say anything about politics or the campaign or what speech you have to give or anything, I swear to God, I'm going to stab you with this fork.
I just wanted to say that this is the most wonderful dinner I have ever had.
He is, like, we see in Pineapple Express how over the top and in character he can get. In Milk, he's just this supporting role to Sean Penn, and you see in so many moments how he was instrumental in making sure that Harvey Milk became the man he was. Even though eventually he comes to hate that man, it's still a big part of it, and I really love him for it. It's a great role for him. It's just a great movie. And I still love that moment when they just moved to San Francisco. That whole trip, when they're in the car and Sean Penn and him are driving and Sean Penn is filming, and it's on what must be like an 8mm camera that they decided to use to film that with, as well as when they get into their studio apartment and you see like the pictures being taken and Franco is just there and Sean Penn is taking the pictures, and it just switches between the act of Sean Penn taking pictures to the pictures appearing on screen and how everything pans out. It's a great movie and a great role. I said that already. Handing over to Damien.
Alright, so my favorite role, I have been informed, cannot be talked about. It is a spoiler. So I have to.
Well, there's another one with him and a girl that I was actually thinking of too.
Right. That is a really good one.
That's a really good one as far as I'm concerned.
Then, since my pick has been banned by our fearless leader, Pineapple Express. It's clearly that movie is great. And the movie that I can't talk about, he has my favorite line for the year so far. Disco Santa. Oh, sweet mercy. It's so good. Oh Lord, I love that movie.
I'm sorry, that scene is like one of my favorite scenes from that movie.
Well, it's not hard to be a favorite scene from that movie.
You go to hell. You don't like that movie.
I know,
and
I know.
You're wrong.
Also, I guess I really have to mention 127 Hours. It's the movie of this year. I mentioned it earlier in the podcast.
No, that's by far his best performance.
Yeah. It's hard to. You kind of argue that.
Not even close.
Jesus, what if these things move? They've been here for millions of years. They're not going to move.
Sure they will.
What?
Yeah. Everything's moving all the time. I just hope not today.
Great.
All right. Now all you got to remember is that everything will be okay.
Ah! Oh, my God!
Where am I sleeping? Monkey is from us!
Listen to the guy. He's fine.
Come on! You gotta come down here!
Trust me! Trust you, I'll kill you, Aaron Ralston!
Oh, please. You love this.
I was watching it again today and Franco knocks it out of the park.
His range in that movie, I mean, the amount of acting chops required to be on screen for 90 minutes and not have everyone want to stab you by the end of the movie is fantastic.
Wait, no, I watched that movie in theaters. Everybody did want to stab him.
Yeah, but by the end of the movie. By the end of the movie, you win. Okay, fair enough. Getting slightly off topic, that movie and Buried showed me that there's guys who are that have comedic timing that can also broaden out the drama, and I prefer to say that than to have actual comedians being crammed into dramatic roles, which I mean we said it before, everyone can do the Mark Wahlberg thing of looking blankly into the camera and pretending that that is acting, but it is not. And these guys prove that it is not exactly. And these guys prove that
no,
it's
Dickie,
not. You need.
Please don't take any more drugs.
On a side note,
and scowling for
don't
no reason.
Don't do this to mommy.
On a side note, I made my parents watch Buried, which they hate.
Of course, they
completely.
Do. Their parents.
And then I made a decision that I wanted to make them watch all of the Oscar Best Picture films before the Oscars on Sunday. And I knew the only one that I definitely couldn't get them to watch was Toy Story.
Okay.
Because my parents, they just won't watch cartoons.
Yep.
The moment my mother sees...
Because they're parents.
Yes. So the other day I gave them 127 hours to watch. And they got 15 minutes in and saw he went under the rock and... 5 more minutes went, he was chipping, and they turned it off. They said, Andrew, we can't do it after Buried. It's impossible. We're not going to sit through this
movie.
Aren't
you traumatizing your parents? My parents aren't supposed to be cool, you know. Don't you understand that? This is a rule.
My mommy loves Black Swan.
When you become a parent and you see your children enjoying stuff, just leave them alone. Don't attend. When they offer you, oh, this is good, just go no. You have to say no one. You can't like what they like, then you stop being the adult. You can't have that.
But anyways, I think that's about it.
Oh shit. That was fast. It's like a 1:10 minutes or something.
Yeah, we've gone about that far.
Because you guys didn't watch any movie because you're corporate sons of bitches.
I watched movies.
You watched 2 movies.
I talked about 3.
Fair enough.
Anyways, thanks for listening. You can find the podcast at gmanreviews.com as well as iTunes, and you can find me on Twitter at gmanreviews as well as on Facebook, facebook.com/gmanreviews. You can find Douglas at DJR Lost Him's Name on Twitter.
Yes, DJR Lost Him's Name.
Did you hear about the Egyptian guy that named his daughter Facebook?
I think that's a load after what happened in Egypt.
No, he did. He said to thank as a...
That's the only way that you can get anything to do with internet over there now, right? You can't get internet there anymore.
Really, Douglas? You live in Jamaica. You should be making jokes like that.
Good night.